I have an announcement, please. Mrs. Roger Benton of Georgia, will you please go to the information booth in the main lobby at once? Now, Mrs. Max T. Ward of Alexandria, Louisiana, comes to sing for us The 90 and 9 by Campion. Following Mrs. Kim's message, we will have our closing worship period. May I give you just a little direction, please, for I do not believe all understood this morning. The lights will be dimmed, and our verse choir will read from the second chapter of Philippians, and the handbell choir of young people will play for us, "Tell Me the Old, Old Story." And this session will not be adjourned until that is over. If you must go, I think it would be better for you to go now. For when the house is darkened, it is dangerous for you to leave. I hope you'll cooperate with us and be here until this session is closed. Mrs. Don Kim was born in Korea, in the northern part of Korea. She will tell us her own story this afternoon of her life there. Mrs. Kim came then to America, and she and her husband are missionaries of the Home Mission Board, working with international students in Los Angeles. Their home is a home away from home for all international students there, but especially is it a home for the students from Korea. Mrs. Kim, as she comes to tell us her story, will thrill our hearts and stir our souls to action in a new way for our home mission work here in America. Mrs. Don Kim.
This is just wonderful to talk before the Christian mothers. It was when I was a junior girl. One day my mother said, she was a wonderful, devoted Christian, said, "My dear, isn't it wonderful to be a Christian?" I said, "Yes, Mother. Surely it is wonderful to be a Christian. Truly it was wonderful to be Christian when I was a small girl. Everything was delightful. Everything was according to my way." My mother said, "My dear, are you going to be Christian all your life?" I said, "Of course, Mother. I'm going to be Christian all my life. I'm going to be Christian, faithful Christian all my life." My mother smiled and said, "That's wonderful. Then she said, "My dear, do you know that in the world, so many, many, many people who once wanted to be faithful Christian could not make it?" I was so surprised, amazed, and asked, "Why, Mother?" "Because they were lazy, they didn't go to church, that's why they couldn't make it. My mother sighed and said, "Yes. Some of them were lazy, maybe. But many, many of them tried hard. But the trouble was, they didn't want to give up certain things and wanted to be Christian. My dear, listen to me, she said. To be Christian, it costs something. We got to pay the price when the Lord wanted us to do. I, of course, did not grasp all my mother's saying, but I became sure to know that to be Christian means cost something. Cost my will, even my life. When I was going to school, grade school, high school, I was a faithful Christian in the church, and I tried my best to be Christian, and I was a very happy Christian. But when I came back from Japan, after my graduation of college, I noticed there were persecutions, sufferings among the Christians. Many, many pastors, evangelists, Sunday school teachers, leaders were arrested because they couldn't deny their Lord. At the time, I just started to teach music at a girls' high school. But I had to resign my teaching position. And I became prisoner of Jesus, 20 years old, full of energy, wanted to learn all the new things. But I yield my heart to Christ, and I wanted to be Christian even in this desperate hour. My prison was in North Korea, Pyongyang City, the capital of communists now. My prison cell was about 8 feet long and 4 feet wide, and sometimes more than 9 people lived in that little cell together. Thousands of bedbugs, fleas, lice, all kinds of blood-sucking bugs lined up on our bodies and sucked our blood while we could not move at all because of being so closely packed together. In winter, North Korea is very cold, sometimes 25 below zero, and a long, long winter. Of course, there was no heating system in the jail. We had to shuddering our body from morning to morning. And so many prisoners died, froze to death. Sometimes 5 minutes seemed hundreds of days because of the coldness. The starvation was most terrible. Our food was decayed soybean husk and weed soup. When we ate those food, we became more hungry. As soon as we ate those food, our throats swelled, tongues were parched, voice changed, and we became so fat, swollen, because of the toxin in the food. but we had to eat them because of hunger. Every day prisoners died. The gray, fat prisoners groggy around, throwing up blood from mouth, and died. Sometimes too many died on the same day, and the woman guards could not even remove the dead bodies. So the corrupted dead bodies were left here and there, swarming with flies. Among 4,500 prisoners, 2,500 starved and froze to death. Finally, my sight, my hearing became so terrible, very poor. All my hairs, teeth, fingernails, toenails fell off. My skin of body peeled off 3 times and it became a dark gray. I was panting just like a dying woman due to the lack of blood. They chained me with a heavy chain and said, "Worship our God, then you will be free." Many times I fainted, but I thank the Lord. When I woke up, always scripture flew out from my mouth, which I memorized more than 100 chapters of the scriptures. One day, I was called by the judge. When I arrived at the court, I saw there were many, many young men prisoners were begging and asking and pleading the judge to release. The judge looked down to me and said, "Number 57? My prison name was number 57. He said, "Do you see all those young men prisoners? Do you know who they are?" I said, "No, sir." He said, "They are communist leaders. They came in from Russia. They were highly educated in Moscow. They were strong, fearless men. But as you see, they are pleading and begging me to release, because they say they can't endure in the jail anymore for the coldness, hunger, and tortures. How about you? You number 57, how much strength you have?" This time I stood up and said, "Mr. Judge, I do not have any my own strength at all. I'm very, very frail. But I know one thing, that I must be loyal to my Lord until my death. He shouted, "Until you are dead in the jail?" I said, "Yes, sir." if it is necessary to die in the jail. I have to die for my Lord, whom I worship and adore and love. I was sent back to my prison cell again. On the way, oh, how much I wanted to sing out for the joy of victory, because I knew that expression wasn't not by myself. It was the Lord clearly made it. I had to pass 5 iron gates. I passed one by one. When I came back to my prison cell, it was a dark, nasty, horrible place to live and to die. I have so many prison mates, all the women criminals, women murderers, women burglars, women incendiaries, women black marketers. Always they were fighting against each other, cursing each other, because their heart, they didn't have any peace in their heart. Moreover, at night, due to the severe cold and the hunger, could not sleep at all. Satan whispered me many times, "How long, you foolish Christian girl, how long are you going to stay here? For 40 years? For 50 years? Why don't you go out and live like the others? Easy and good life." But the other way, I remembered my mother's word. Before I was put into the jail, my mother said, "My dear, are you going to live in Christ? You die every day. Then you will live in Him." But when I faced this moment, every day of dying wasn't enough to keep my faith. I died every moment, and Christ lived in me every moment. Behind all my prison, my mother always came to prison wall and prayed for me. Especially when I opened my mouth and recited the scriptures chapter by chapter, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." I shouted for the victory again. Oh, Lord, this one life is not enough. This short one life is not enough to give and to suffer for you. Give me more life so I can offer all lives to thee, to suffer and to glorify thy name. That much the Lord strengthened me through his promise. Through my testimony, by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit moved upon the hearts of prison women guards. Six of them became wonderful, consecrated, strong Christians, stubborn Christians. And they fed me at night secretly with their own food. My sight gained back. My hearing became so much better. Not only that, they helped me to tell about Jesus to another criminals. Hundreds of women criminals were saved in the jail. I thank the Lord. I was scheduled to be executed. After 5 years, 8 months and a half, I was waiting for my death chamber. One day a converted prison woman guard suggested me to flee from that jail because she had a key in her hand. I said, thank you. Don't worry about me. How wonderful it will be if I meet Jesus as soon as possible. I'm ready to see him there. I didn't flee. But just one day before my execution, suddenly my prison door was widely opened, and I was welcomed by thousands of Korean Christians who came out from the mountains, from the caves, from the secret homes where they were hiding, gathered together, thundering and shouting and singing, all hail the power of Jesus' name. I wondered whether I was in heaven. When I was released, I weighed only 67 pounds bone and skin, terrible shape. Many times I wondered why I had to live in that shape, became an old maid. But God had a plan to make me stand here today to talk about that story to you, American Christian mothers whom I love. The topic assigned to me for today is From Communism to Freedom. I'm not sure whether I have done justice to my assigned topic today. But I know this. The gravest danger our world is facing today is communism, which is opposed to what Christ stands for.